No. You don't have to close the window. Yeah.
Okay, if everybody will take their seat, we'll go ahead and begin.
Yeah, you don't have to close it, Carter. Thank you.
No. We can see the blossoms this way.
The youthful blossoms.
That's right.
City Council will come to order. Carla, please call the roll.
Adams.
Here.
Leonard. Saltzman.
Here.
Sten. Potter.
Here. I'd like to remind folks that prior to offering public testimony to City Council, a lobbyist must declare which lobbying entity he or she is authorized to represent. Please read the 2 p.m. time certain. Read the 2 p.m. time certain, 375, 376, and 377.
375, adopt the Portland Streetcar Loop Project capital budget based on the design development submittal and direct various actions for implementation. 376, amend contract with Portland Streetcar, Inc. under certain conditions to provide additional professional services for project management and financial planning for the Portland Streetcar Loop Project. 377, amend contract with Portland Streetcar, Inc. under certain conditions to provide additional professional services for design and civil engineering during final engineering of the Portland Streetcar Loop Project.
Commissioner Adams.
Thank you, Mayor. Members, member of the City Council, the checklist for securing federal funding for the Portland Streetcar Loop is almost complete. And we need a finding of no significant impact from the Federal Transit Administration in response to the environmental assessment in order to move into final engineering. The EA was published in the Federal Register on February 8th. Public comment period closed March 10th. We held an open public house on March 6th. Comments received were not substantive in nature, and the draft FONSI, which is the finding of no significant impact, has been prepared for the Federal Transit Administration's review. No indications that there is an issue here. The cost estimates that we'll be discussing today in greater detail are based on the design development submittal, which is 40% to 50% engineering, and needs to be within the $146,915,000 budget. The resolution represents the latest cost estimate, which concludes with the $146.9 million budget. Concludes that the $46.9 million budget can be met and that is contains adequate allowances for contingency, inflation, and finance costs. Project staff and consultants are here to answer any questions from council. The new cost estimate will be forwarded to the Portland Development Commission for phase two of the third-party public improvement project risk assessments. Results from the phase one third-party public improvement project risk assessment effort based on the conceptual design cost estimate indicated the contingency shown then in the project was 80% confidence to finish the project. Medium, I know it. I have to read all this stuff for the record. It'll make sense a little later, I hope. Medium cost effectiveness rating from the Federal Transit Administration. The President's fiscal budget, 2009 budget, includes $50,000 for the Portland Streetcar Loop project in the Small Starts funding during 2009. The Federal Transit Administration will support that allocation and subsequent appropriations to total $75 million if the loop project meets the medium cost effectiveness rating by June 30th, 2008. Project technical staff are continuing to work with the Federal Transit Administration to achieve the medium cost effectiveness rating. The alternative path is a congressional appropriation. The purpose of the two contracts amendments on the agenda is to have all approvals in place so that the final engineering can start as soon as possible, but done in such a way that minimizes the commitment of project funds until the federal funds are approved. Therefore, the notice to proceed for this work will not be given until myself and Ken Rust agree that it is highly likely that we will receive the Small Starts funds. I would ask Michael Powell and Vicky come forward, and Rick, to explain the fiscal impacts and some more detail of these.
Commissioner, there was one small correction to what you said.
said 50,000. It's 50 million.
Sorry, 50 million. 50 million. 50 million.
Could we also ask Carter to come up? Because he has.
Carter, can you come up as well?
Yeah.
Let me try to summarize this, introduce the speakers, maybe using more plain-spoken English. Our assessment is that we will get the Portland Streetcar Loop funding either this year or early in the new administration. We did receive an inclusion in the president's budget for $50 million, and that was very good news. We still have to meet the medium, the medium cost.
Effectiveness rating.
We need to meet the medium cost effectiveness rating. So we want to proceed with a portion of the work that keeps the project on track while those discussions with the FTA continue. The reason why that's important is that it's our estimates that inflation is running on this project about $500,000 a month. Is that right, Carter?
That's
more or less?
Yeah.
And so all the work that we can do so that when we get approval and are ready to go, all the better. Carter, you want to start out?
I think Vicki's
going to start out.
Yeah, if that's okay.
Sure.
I'll talk about the three specific items in front of you, if that's okay, and then we'll answer questions in total. Or if you wish to ask a question in the meantime, of course, do so. On the resolution, that in addition to asking the council to adopt the revised capital budget, there are other implementation items in the resolution which are really important that we get started on. One of them are the contract amendments that are the next two items on the agenda. And then we need to develop a new intergovernmental agreement with TriMet for them to disperse the federal funds to the city for the project construction grant phase of the project, which will include both final engineering and the actual construction work. The city's not an eligible agency to get Federal Transit Administration funds, so we do that through TriMet, and then they pass the money on to us. And they also provide us oversight to make sure that we're meeting all the federal requirements. Another item that we need to start working on is the issue of procurement of the streetcar vehicles to be funded by the Oregon State Lottery. This will require work with ODOT on meeting the administrative rules for the grant funds and then the solicitation process to choose a manufacturer. The Oregon Transportation Commission will be considering the new administrative rules at their meeting this month. I believe it's on the 22nd and 23rd of April. The notice to proceed, however, with the manufacturer will be held until the project construction grant agreement has been given to the project. And finally, we need to initiate a procurement process to pick a construction manager, general contractor for the project. In the past, and we would assume we would do the same thing, is that we would like to bring our contractor on board before we're through with design, so that they may help us with the next round of costing and also provide us with value engineering. So those are the items in the resolution. The first amendment to the Portland Streetcar Inc. Is for project management services. And during final engineering, the cost for those project management services will be $500,000. And the condition to the notice to proceed will be held, again, as Sam mentioned, until the commissioner and Ken Rust agree that it's highly likely we'll get the federal funds. But it also provides for some interim project management between now and when final engineering actually moves forward. And the costs for that are $300,000. And this is funded from a $1 million MTIP grant that's available to the city for this project. So that's the only money that's at risk right now. And it's money that's already allocated to us. And the work that will pay for is that we'll work on the project construction grant application itself. We have a resolution of design parameters with the Oregon Department of Transportation, with Multnomah County, and with the Union Pacific Railroad. Well, there's a resolution of the alignment through the Pearl District. There's the selection process for the CMGC and for the vehicle procurement, and other miscellaneous items. The second ordinance is for an amendment with Portland Streetcar Inc. for civil and design engineering services during final engineering. And the cost for this is $5.16 million. And again, the notice to proceed will be issued when the Commissioner of Public Utilities and Ken Rust have agreed that it's highly likely we will receive the federal money. I should mention, too, that on both of those contract amendments, Portland Streetcars, Inc. subconsultants have agreed to hold those prices until September 1st of this year. Should we not have a notice to proceed by that time, everyone will probably need to step back, take a deep breath, and regroup. And we'll need to relook at the scope of the project, perhaps the scope of the work, and the budget, and all of that would, of course, come back to council. So in a nutshell, those are kind of the items, and we're all here to answer any questions you may have.
I think what I have been working on primarily was getting the design completed and then working on the cost estimate, which is obviously very important. And we, as Vicki indicated, we were shooting to stay within the budget that we established last September when we were in front of you. We have advanced the design considerably, which it helps a lot and gives us a lot more confidence in the numbers. We also used a very diverse and rich set of sources of information to develop the cost estimate, including the current ongoing projects, particularly the mall light rail and other projects that are current where we know the numbers are good. We went to ODOT to get data on the cost of asphalt, and so we really drilled into this in quite a bit of detail. We also did this with a team of people who have been involved with the streetcar here, who have been involved with the light rail project as well, both on the civil side and the track side, as well as the overhead electrical piece of this, which is a significant piece of the project. On the bridges, we are using David Evans Associates as the design engineer. They were the design engineer on the recent refurbishment of the Broadway Bridge, so they understand the bridge well. We've had several meetings with Multnomah County engineers and feel very good about where we are with all that design work and as well as with the cost estimates. So we feel pretty confident about where we are. We are within the budget we established last September and feel we are positioned to keep moving through final design and bring this thing in on budget. And it will be important, as Vicki mentioned, to get the CMGC on board to help us with value engineering, looking at constructability issues, helping us with long lead items that are out there relative to the project, as well as the sequencing work that we need to do.
So phase one of our third-party public improvement project risk assessment was done, and what did it conclude in terms of our estimates?
The conclusion was that we had adequate, really what they evaluated is given the risks in the project relative to schedule and cost, did we have adequate contingency to cover those risks? And the answer was yes.
And then what will be achieved with the public improvement project risk assessment phase two?
Assumedly, what they will deliver all of this information in terms of the background and the detailed cost estimates we've done. And they will review those. They'll do, again, this risk assessment process that they use to evaluate, really almost on a line-by-line item basis, what we're assuming the cost will be, what contingencies we're carrying, how are we dealing with inflation. And they'll come back with another report with opinion, which I think is going to be fine.
And we, just to remind council, the third-party public improvement risk assessment was something that council asked for along with the Portland Development Commission, and the Portland Development Commission has the contract for that assessment.
Correct.
So there,
yeah.
It's a separate group of folks beholden to PDC, not to PDOT.
Correct.
Or to Portland Streetcar to assess our work.
Correct, absolutely. PDC's selected the consultant and has managed that contract and been involved in all those discussions. Of course, we've talked to them a lot just to, share the information we had, and would continue to do that. We welcome that that kind of scrutiny. It makes good sense.
I had a few questions. And this is, it's for me, but it's also for the folks at home. We're building a streetcar loop, and that the initial phase which is the design and civil engineering, correct?
Well,
is to determine what it would cost and the timelines and so forth.
There are several phases in any kind of project, but the small starts kind of lays out a schedule. The first thing that you do is conceptual design and conceptual planning is what we call it. And you start looking at what streets, whereabouts on the street will it be. You don't get into enough detail to, there's some detail that's obviously not taken care of in that area. And based on that conceptual planning effort, the next thing that you move into is what they call design development. And this is further engineering work for the technical staff on the roadway and underground utilities and the overhead electrification system, et cetera. And it was a result of that design development work that is this cost estimate that's in front of you today. Then the next phase of the project is really into the final engineering. And that will end up getting us to construction documents from which you would then construct the project. So that's the continuum that we're on at the moment.
So then to tie this to the budget, the first contract with PSI was for $270,000?
Yes.
Plus $100,000 additional to be spent during fiscal year 2007?
Yes.
And the original contract with PSI for subcontracting for civil and design engineering was for what?
$900,000. Right. And those were both involved in the conceptual design phase.
Okay. What were the deliverables for those two contracts?
I don't have the contracts with me, but the result of the contract was that the conceptual design was done, a conceptual cost estimate was prepared, the financing plan was brought forth to council, the local improvement district was put into place, other sources were secured. That was for the conceptual area and the financing plan. And then when we moved into the next phase, we amended those contracts. And that the amendment of those contracts was talked about in the initial solicitation documents that were sent out. And we indicated that as we moved into the next phases of the project, that the contracts, subject to negotiating the work and the scope and the budget, the work would be amended as soon as we had the funds available to pay for it. So the next piece of money that we got was some CMAQ money. And
CMAQ stands for?
Congestion Management Air Quality. And it's a part of the regional flexible funds.
And was that the amended contract we had to bring it up to $520,000?
Yes.
For PSI?
And up to $2.3 million for the engineering.
Okay, and do we know what the deliverables are on that?
The deliverables on that were the project development phase work.
Do we have a detailed plan indicating what those deliverables
are? I don't have it with me, but I would be happy to provide that to you.
Can you do that, please?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And so then this contract that we're considering today, this amendment, then brings it up to a total of $7.46
million? $7.46 million for the design contract.
And $1.32 for the PSI.
Yes, exactly.
And does this contract have specific deliverables?
It does.
And what are those?
Again, I don't have the specific. Well, I do actually, don't I? Hang on. It's the ones we're doing. On the civil and design engineering services, it's many, many, many pages here. It will be 100% design drawings. It will be for the street and the track and the OCS work. The deliverables on the structural work, which would be the bridge, would be interim and final design documents. It includes drawing specifications and estimates, final drainage reports. There will be interim and final utility design documents for the maintenance facility. There will be interim and final design documents for traffic design elements, quantities of the traffic design elements. Most of these have interim and final design. So we get to plan specs and estimates is what we get to, so that we could then move into construction.
What's the phrase we use to describe the degree of certainty?
Low, moderate, high.
At the end of the first contract, what did you say was the degree of confidence for it?
Low.
And where is it now with the second amendment where it brought up, and now this third?
We consider that the cost amendment that we're asking you to adopt today, that we are in the medium to high range, probably closer to medium. We're at the 50% level. We've gotten an outside opinion that our contingency and our inflation numbers are good, that we can get through the project.
And does the PSI contract have the same type of specific deliverables that the
Yes, it does. Uh-huh. On the project management side, the services that come from PSI are to manage this host of consultants and sub-consultants that you can imagine will be doing the design work and coordinate those activities, as well as, you know, picking off the very important high critical items and making sure that those are dealt with. So they are intimately involved with the ability for the design contractors to be able to deliver their deliverables, as it were. In addition to that, then they will also manage the construction and the community relations portion of the plan as we continue to meet with the community as the design develops. They will be very important to us as we put together the construction contractor procurement documents, as well as the procurement documents for the vehicles. But again, if you would like more detail in it or of what has already happened, I can do that. The two contracts in front of you do have the deliverables listed on them.
Okay. Will there be additional amendments to these two contracts with PSI and the subcontracting for the subcontractor?
Yes. The next phase will be that we will have amendments to these contracts for services during construction. It will be for project management during construction, for design services during construction, and again for those total coordinating activities that are so necessary to construct to build these things efficiently and on budget.
Well, how many more will we have in terms of amendments before we have to go back to bid for a new contract?
This contract, the solicitation for this contract was set up that the contracts would flow through construction from the time of the conceptual design until you're done.
So how do we then contain cost?
But as opposed to the reason that I understand that it was set up this way is so that it was set up that we chose the contractors to build us a streetcar. But
yes,
we are only going to be sanctioning their work and paying for their work and coming back to council at each phase of the work so that council is satisfied that the contractor has been delivering on each of the phases before deciding
absolutely
that they want to move forward.
Absolutely.
Carter, did you want to add anything?
Well, if I understood your question, Mr. Mayor, the next time we come back, we would be coming back relative to construction services. So we would likely, historically, we've come back at the same time with the award of the construction contract. So it all comes really as a package, again, relative to the budget and, you know, having some assurance that we have adequate funds to finish the project. So that's, I think that's where we would be the next time we would be back here.
Well, part of my concern arises from the fact that in the increase in the project management and the design phase, that we've taken about 16% of the contingency to pay for that. And I'm just concerned about how we're going to protect that contingency for, say, construction costs or other things to make sure that that contingency, as you said, would be sufficient to handle any overcost.
Well, the actual the services that we anticipate, what I think you're referring to this change for in the engineering and administration piece of the project, where it has gone up since September in the overall. I will tell you frankly that most of that is related to city staff increases, and the consulting increases in that number have actually stayed the same or gone down. So city staff is included in here, as well as, you know, our relation, you know, we pay Multnomah County because they want to be paid for the time they spend reviewing the plans with us and working with us on the design. They have inspectors, et cetera. So that number covers more than just the consulting work, and the consultant numbers have stayed consistent in the budget.
So you said city staff. Who do you mean by that?
City staff would be Vicky, city inspectors. There'll be multiple city inspectors on this project. There'll be management and design work from the Bureau of Water and from BES as well, because they are involved in the utility work that we're doing. So there are multiple, you know, city bureaus involved in this activity. We also pay the railroad a fee for, you know, because we're crossing over the Union Pacific Railroad. That's not city staff, obviously, but that is in that E&A number.
Anybody else have any questions?
I had a question, I guess. I thought, Vicki, you mentioned there's a finding in here about using the CMGC process.
Yeah, that we're going to pursue that. And there's a whole process that you have to go through in order to do a CMGC. We haven't done it yet, but we will be bringing that back to council.
And so who chooses under the CMGC process? Is it the council that decides or Portland Streetcar that decides?
Well, it is always the council's decision. The CMGC process, we run that through the Bureau of Purchases. We have lay out the criteria for selection. We make our recommendations, and we bring it to council for approval.
CMGC?
It's a construction management general contractor. What it does is there's a process that the state allows us to go through that exempts ourselves from low bid work when it's a very complicated, very big, significant project. And if we put the proper findings together and get approval from council, we then put in place a different competitive project. But we're not dependent then on low bid to choose the contractor. And I think we use that in many of the bureaus of the city. Yeah. And we've used
all the streetcar phases and both the interstate and mall light rail projects have been built with a similar process.
So how many of the streetcar projects have been on time and on budget?
All of them.
And is this not just using those prior approaches that were successful, but is actually learned from those approaches to give the best possible work on this particular phase?
We certainly like to think we've learned from the past.
I just want to be clear that this is not the payment of the contract. Contract starts here, competitively bid, came through council. We told council that we'd be back to them for extensions of planned extensions of the contract when certain milestones are met.
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
We have a couple of folks invited to testify.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
We have a special guest.
Mr. Powell.
Gotten quiet outside, hasn't it? Goes to show you enough public testimony and it'll bore everybody.
Well, I don't know about you, but I'm pretty sure that was a protest against Commissioner Randy Leonard.
Uh-oh.
Because they climbed up on not Eric's end of the building, but his end of the building.
Randy, what have you been up to?
I stood between them and him.
I'm Michael Powell. I'm chair of the Portland Streetcar Board, and I'm here just to add a few brief comments to what you've heard to date. I'm mostly to thank people who've been involved in the Seaside project for what it seems like, I think it's been 6 years now that there's been an advisory committee. So I want to thank and acknowledge the work of the Citizens Advisory Committee and the Loop Project Advisory Committee that have worked on this project for so long and diligently and meet continuously and still meet monthly, who worked hard on the alignment, scale of the project, the scope of the project, the budget, the stops, every aspect of the project. And I also want to thank the consultants and the folks at TriMet and Metro who worked so hard with the federal government in achieving what we hope will be the funding from the FTA. It's been a very difficult process. We're the first city to apply and have a reasonable hope of getting the money out of the Small Starts program for a streetcar project, and the first olive out of the jar has been extremely difficult. But conscientious, diligent, and hard work, and many, many trips to D.C. In order to satisfy the FTA that we're eligible for this money. And I think these people have been very impressive, and certainly I've been impressed with their willingness to do this work. Support of TriMet and Metro particularly have been very helpful in this area. I want to remind briefly some of the successes. You mentioned how many were on time and on budget. Actually, I think four of the five projects were under budget. They were all on time. We've now operated for 6 years. Our current ridership is over 10,000 weekdays, approaching 3.5 million riders a year. We've never had a serious accident, which I think is a remarkable record in and of itself. $3.5 billion of development now along the three blocks of the alignment. That is the three-block wide swath between, in the center part of the town would be between 10th and 13th. And through Portland State and down to South Waterfront and up to Good Sam. And almost 10,000 units of housing. And $100 million altogether, $48 million have been recovered in special development charges. And annually, it appears that we're getting about $30 million in either county or school taxes revenue out of that $3.5 billion of development. And that's after discounting the land projects that were set aside for affordable housing, which do not return tax to the county or the schools. So the project has paid for itself, perhaps more than once, and continues to be iconic for the city and a very successful project. Trying to get you numbers on the carbon footprint of this, which are it's all new work, so it's difficult, but if you move 3.5 million people in an electrically driven vehicle and trips not taken by car, the carbon imprint of this has to be truly wonderful and remarkable, and you deserve a lot of credit for that, and I don't think we're always as ready to acknowledge that because we're not used to thinking in those terms, but we've got to have to be thinking in those terms. So all of that is, I think, to the plus side. I've watched and been part of the whole planning process for the east side. I'm optimistic that we will get the funding from the federal government. We have a plan B involving our congressional delegation if we need one, and I think that funding will be available to us. Obviously, if we don't get the funding, we don't move forward, and we don't obligate any additional money, and we don't start construction or even the final planning until we do have that money. So that's our assurance to you. PSI board is diligent in reviewing the work of the consultants on a monthly basis and are confident that they have the capacity and the experience and the energy to drive this project forward to successful completion. I think our record speaks for itself. I think you have reason to be optimistic that we'll deliver what we promise. We always have. Thank you very much.
Good afternoon, Mayor, members of council. I'm Chris Smith, and I'm appearing today wearing a couple of hats. First, I am the chair and the authorized representative of the Streetcar Citizens Advisory Committee. That is the committee appointed by the Commissioner of Transportation to advise the commissioner and the council on issues around the entire streetcar system. I'm also a member of the Project Advisory Committee for this specific project. So in that first capacity, let me pass on the enthusiastic support of the Citizen Advisory Committee to move forward on this project. And I'd say the great enthusiasm and some impatience from the Project Advisory Committee to get this going. Obviously, we are waiting for the federal government to, you know, dot the I's and cross the T's so that we can move forward and involved in, you know, the politics of an administration on its way out the door. I think it's important to understand that by moving forward today, what you're doing is positioning Portland to act immediately when we can resolve the federal issues to move forward as quickly as possible, which minimizes the risk of cost adjustments due to inflation. So, the sooner we can push the button and get going, the greater our chances of not having to worry about inflationary adjustments in the project that will chew up contingencies. From the project advisory committee point of view, I just again want to echo what Michael said, that the community is behind this. We have worked with the stakeholders in the Central East Side, in Lloyd District, OMSI. There is tremendous enthusiasm to get this project moving. It delivers an incredible array of benefits to the community. It becomes the anchor for a citywide streetcar system that we're now beginning to plan for, and I look forward to seeing this open in 2011. Thank you.
Thank you both very much for your service. That's all we have for invited.
Okay. Do you have anybody sign up to testify on this matter?
We have one more person, Kathy Rakers.
Hi, I'm Kathy Rakers, and I'm just a transit rider. And I have concerns about the streetcar, actually. I'm concerned about the traffic impacts that are going to happen on MLK and Grand because of the streetcar. I like to see people get out of their cars and take transit. I'm a transit rider myself, but there are a lot of trucks and businesses that depend on MLK and Grand and trucking to get their jobs done every day. I'm wondering how this can be an improvement when there's already transit that exists on the MLK and Grand arterials now. How is it going to be an improvement for riders who are going from Northeast Lombard to Southeast Portland when they have to ride a bus and then stop and get on a streetcar? That concerns me. And then I'm also just wondering why other streets that aren't currently served by transit aren't better suited for this project, such as 11th and 12th or 20th and 21st Avenues, which are major arterials but don't currently have bus lines on them. I understand that you want something to go to OMSI, but it could make a nice loop down 11th and 12th to OMSI, and then eventually hopefully across the new bridge crossing the Willamette. Hopefully that will happen in the future. I'm also concerned just because development, it seems like a big part of this project is redevelopment on MLK and Grand, and that seems like it's a big focus of why we want this to happen or why people want this to happen here. And it seems like the redevelopment of MLK and Grand is already happening, and I think it's going to happen with or without the streetcar line. That's all I want to say. Thank you.
Thank you. Is that it?
That's all the testimony.
Is there anybody here who wishes to testify to this matter? Okay, please call a vote on 375.
There is an amendment. Vicki, did you?
Is there an amendment?
The amendment?
Yes.
Okay. On?
On Exhibit A. There's a substitute Exhibit A on 375. Did you get that?
Is it in our packet?
It was delivered yesterday.
Thank you.
What's the change, just so council knows?
It's just further detail about the construction items on the budget that were available when we submitted the documents.
Thank you.
Is this at a 50% freeze again?
Confidence
level, this particular Exhibit A?
Does it get us to... Once the completion of this next phase, what level of confidence will we be at? We're at moderate now. After we spend this money, what will we be at in terms of confidence?
We'll be at a high level of confidence because we will have completed engineering. We will have construction documents. We will have had the numbers reviewed by the contractor. So at that point in time, we'll have a very high. Optimal, of course, is not until you're done.
But the budget itself is at the 50% level.
Right now,
yeah.
Which is moderate.
Right.
Okay. I'll move the
second.
The amendment.
Call the vote.
Adams?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye.
Please call the vote on 375.
Adams?
I just wanted to, I forget your name.
Kathy, I just wanted to let you know that council had a very similar concern when this was first aired and have given me the direction to, in terms of implementation of the loop, to make sure that folks using those bus lines don't have to get off for a portion of their bus line to get on the streetcar just to get back on. So that's the direction I got from council to negotiate with TriMet over the next couple of years, and we will be pursuing that. Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Potter.
Well, as I expressed earlier, I am concerned about the increased cost, particularly with the project management and design and civil engineering. And it would be nice if there was a way for the council to be advised well in advance so that we can understand, rather than just approving the next check, is to understand what that will get us in terms of the deliverables, so that we, when we vote, we're voting on some very specific criteria. Aye. Please read item 376. Call the vote. Is there anybody who's testified?
We had one sign-up sheet for all three.
Oh, okay. Please call a vote.
Adams?
Vicki, why don't we make sure that we have a sit-down briefing with the mayor on this work and offer a sit-down briefing well before the next time we come back from council? I know we did that with staff, or offered that to staff. Let's make sure we get the mayor done. Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Well, I just wanted to commend Portland Streetcar Inc. and all of its erstwhile supporters for delivering projects on time and under budget. So that's great. Aye.
Potter.
Aye. Please read 377. Call a vote.
Adams.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Potter.
Aye.
Thanks, staff team. Thanks.
We've got
Rick and Carter.
3 minutes, Mayor. The 379 is just this is kind of a technical. Can we do that before we do the, so you guys can be,
yes,
released?
Go ahead. Could you please read item 379?
$379, amend property maintenance regulations to reflect changes in application and policy, repeal outdated provisions, and add new provisions to address chronic offenders.
Mr. Leonard?
Lori.
Thank you, Commissioner Leonard. Mayor Potter, Commissioner Leonard, members of the council. My name is Lori Graham. I work for the Bureau of Development Services. Besides me is Ed Merihart, who works in our Bureau's neighborhood inspections team. And we bring before you a proposal that makes some changes to our Title 29, which is our nuisance and inspection section of our code. And while most of the changes generally bring the code into closer conformance with state laws, we got some definition changes that correct some things. And we've made some changes to how Section 2930, which contains our minimum standards provisions, function so that they function more like a building code should, setting more explicit dates. There are some new enforcement tools included in this proposal. Primarily, or the primary one, is the one that adds the language which allows us to address chronic offenders in a separate way than, or a different way than how we've addressed them in the past. And at this point, I would like to defer to Ed Merihart to be able to address any technical issues that you may have with that section.
Would you like me to go into a little bit more detail? Or? Okay. Don't need to? Okay.
Yes, council, like.
It's fine.
Did Commissioner Leonard come up with the extra enforcement ideas?
I did to assure you, okay, I did not.
Actually, that came ground
There's
up.
There's no summary execution or anything like that.
I do want to say that
there
was
probably a good point to point that out. These are not my idea.
I do want to add that there was an inter-bureau task force that worked on these items. Right. And also the community tenant group also worked on these items. So they were vetted in public forum.
Thank you.
Ensured its passage.
Do you want to testify on this matter?
Yes, we have one person, Jeremy Van Curen, and Stephanie Reynolds also.
Where's Jeremy? They're there.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Van Kuren with Mayor Potter's office.
And I'm Stephanie Reynolds with the Office of Neighborhood Involvement Crime Prevention Program.
And we're here to represent the Interbureau Task Force as the two co-chairs. The task force was convened by council 2 years ago to address high crime and livability issues in selected neighborhoods. And we support all the amendments, but we wanted to single out the amendment that refers to chronic offenders of the housing code in particular. One of the lessons that we learned early on in our work is that it really only takes one irresponsible landlord to drag down the livability of an entire neighborhood.
In the course of our work, Neighborhood Inspections at BDS has worked closely with the task force to aggressively pursue code violations in our task force areas. However, chronically offending landlords with several properties often maintain absolute bare minimum standards at those properties, and it leaves the door open for repeated offenses at these properties, and there are no substantial consequences for multiple violations.
With these amendments, property owners will have a greater incentive to avoid multiple property code violations, and this will improve livability across the city. So we'd like to recognize the work that BDS and the City Attorney's Office has done on to put together these code changes and offer our support. So, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And I want to say I really appreciate what the Interbureau Task Force has done under Commissioner Leonard's leadership, and it's really been a collaborative effort amongst many bureaus. And I think it shows how when we work together on issues, we can solve a lot more than just trying to go it alone. So thank you. This is a non-emergency and moves to a second reading.
Thank you very much for your work. Appreciate it.
Thanks. Please. She's bad.